Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my foul-mouth friend.
Such a dirty, naughty potty mouth.
I think we should lead with that because I had a couple of people reach out saying they're very upset about the cursing, even though we do have the explicit label. We do curse like sailors sometimes. We're talking about creeps, and it just comes right out of us. So if you hate cursing, this may not be the show for you.
Yes, I'm really sorry. As I explained to Margot off the air, I could try really hard to like not curse, but I don't have the energy to pretend to be something I'm not, which is a foul-mouthed jerk.
Each week we talk about a creep and we take turns talking about a creep, and then the other one is tasked to find someone who's not a creep. So you don't leave this episode leaving like the world is a total stinkpot garbage pile fire. Okay. So we hope you enjoy that. We do have a Patreon page if you want to help support the show. We do have a new Patreon member, Danielle. Thank you so much, Danielle. And it's a way you guys can help support the show because we're putting out a weekly show for you guys, and that just takes time. It takes effort. It takes having a hosting site. It takes putting together a website, which Sonia did, whatacreeppodcast.com. So thank you guys so much. And just go to P-A-T-R-E-O-N and look up What a Creep if you want to help the show. If you want to leave us an iTunes review, the 5-star reviews, we'll mention those people on the air. The people who leave us less than that, we'll make fun of you off the air. But boy, do we have fun time doing that.
We really do.
Yeah.
We really love making fun of you off the air.
You can find us on social media. We do have a basic Facebook page, which might disappear. I know you keep saying that, but it really might have to because it's just kind of ridiculous. We have a Facebook group. If you want to interact with us, and a lot of times people listen to an episode and they want to start talking about the topic, or they want to talk about future episodes they'd like for us to do. And that's where we tend to be the most interactive. So it's a private group. If you have like no image for your logo, your name, your avatar, it's blank or it's got something creepy and weird and you don't belong to any other shows, any other podcast groups or whatever, we're probably not going to pick you. But if not, come on in. It's a good place to hang out.
The Facebook group gives me life. Like it really is the only reason I go on Facebook is to go to our Facebook group because we have, and I say this every week, the best listeners. Y'all are so interactive. You share the best stuff. It really is like a place for like a safe place for people to talk about creeps and share people who are not creeps and vent a little and kind of get it off your chest. It's really, really great. It's my favorite.
Well, for example, I learned about Jerry from the Netflix show Cheer, who has just been arrested like as of an hour ago for child porn. And he was someone like we were all like, I loved him on the show. And somebody else said I almost got a cameo from him. Like we all really love him. So it's also a place to go to kind of like deal with news that's bad.
Yeah.
Amongst people who care.
We need that right now.
Yes.
We all need it right now. So join our safe space.
Another place you can reach out is on Twitter, and we are at CreepPod, only because someone had What a Creep for 10 years and never used it.
Creep!
We have an email, whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com, especially if you have issues with Sonia and I and you want to talk about it. That's really the best place to do it. We do listen, and we want you guys to feel like you
absolutely
know, right. And we want to make the show better all the time. But we also have stickers. And Sonia, I went to the post office yesterday. It was hell. I waited in line forever, 6 feet apart, but we all did it. I sent a bunch of stuff out, you guys. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, those of you that have been waiting, you will get your merch. But if you don't even have to be a Patreon member or in the Facebook group. If you want some stickers, just send us an email. We will send them out to you. But the holy part is that we have a total creep running the USPS right now. And I hope they get to you. My fingers are crossed, but we have him and Mercury in retrograde coming up soon. So everybody, just, you know, form a prayer circle around yourselves. You know, mm-hmm. Keep the good energy flowing. We're going to get through 2020 together.
Yes. We also have a merch shop, too, at Threadless. So you could go to threadless.com and type in What a Creep Podcast. And there's all kinds of stuff there. There's shirts and masks and mugs, and there's stickers and magnets and things like that. So if you want stuff like that, do it. We've got a new shirt, or it should say a new logo up there with the, like, maybe next year.
I got mine yesterday.
You could get your mask or your shirt or whatever. And yeah, just do it. Find anything you want there.
It's all there, and that all helps the show. And I think I've mentioned everything, have I?
I think so.
All right. So, Sonia, who is our creep today?
So our creep this week is John Crickfalusi. Mm-hmm. I looked it up. I listened to videos to get the name correct. Y'all, I did my homework. I totally researched how to pronounce his name. It's Crickfalusi, also known as John K. So I'll probably just be referring to him as John K throughout the rest of this. Trigger warnings. There's sexual abuse and child pornography in this episode, unfortunately. And I put this episode together with a little help from our friends at BuzzFeed. The documentary Happy Happy Joy Joy, which is streaming everywhere right now for rent, I mean. And then I also went to Twitter, to Robin Bird's Twitter and Katie Rice's Twitter. You'll learn more about them in a little bit. And of course, Wikipedia. So John Crickfalusi, also known as John K, was the creator of Ren and Stimpy. From 1989 to 1992, he was heavily involved in the first two seasons of the show, and he, including doing the voice of Ren and a couple of the other characters. Did you watch Ren and Stimpy back in the day?
Of course.
Me too.
It was alternative. It was weird. There was nothing like it on television.
Yeah, it's such a strange show. Hard to believe it was on Nickelodeon, to be honest, but it was insanely popular. He's also a total creep, who was an asshole to work with, and he preyed on underage girls. One of the girls he was in a relationship with was 16 when he was 41. Another girl said that he masturbated while he was on the phone with her when she was in the 10th grade. Mm. And he sexually harassed her for years afterward. And these are just the two we know about. He later accepted responsibility for his actions and issued a heartfelt apology. Just kidding. He offered a half-ass apology and blamed his actions on an undiagnosed bipolar disorder and poor impulse control. So let's start at the beginning. Born September 9th, 1955 in Quebec, Canada, Michael John Crickfalusi has always been obsessed with animation. His father served in the Royal Canadian Air Force, and he moved around a lot. He was kind of an army brat, I guess you would say. He lived in Canada and Germany and Belgium and back to Canada, and he would spend a lot of his time watching cartoons and drawing them. He had a complicated relationship with his father, like most of us. Mm-hmm. his father wasn't supportive of his drawing. He said his father said that he was wasting his time and that really only one in a million people would make it in Hollywood. In the documentary Happy Happy Joy Joy, John Kay tells the story of hiding his comics in his room, kind of the way other young people would hide pornography, and his father would discover them and throw them out because it was just a waste of time. He sounds like a real dick. He remained determined to pursue animation. He attended Sheridan College, but he was expelled after one semester for poor attendance. I didn't know you could get expelled for poor attendance. I felt like they just take your money and they don't give a fuck what you do, but apparently that's a thing. He then decided to move to Los Angeles, and he brought with him his then girlfriend, Lynn Naylor, to pursue his animation dreams. I'm not going to list like every little thing he did, but after he got to LA, he worked for a couple of different studios. He worked on a couple of different projects. Some of them you probably recognize. He worked on Super Friends, Tom and Jerry, a 1985 version of The Jetsons, The New Adventures of Beanie and Cecil. I didn't watch that one, but honestly, most of these were not my not my jam. But most famously, he worked on Mighty Mouse, The New Adventures, which was canceled after depicting the main character snorting cocaine. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
So it's super weird. So if you watch it, you're like, what the F? Why is Mighty Mouse like snorting cocaine? They claim that he's sniffing, quote, sniffing crushed petals from a flower, which were handed to him in a previous scene. And I'm like, why was he snorting anything?
It's
so weird. He was snorting cocaine. It's fine. Whatever. Mighty Mouse was canceled. He also did the animation for the Rolling Stones video, Harlem Shuffle.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Oh, God, what a terrible song.
It's such a terrible song. There were a couple of these videos that mix like live action and animation in the day. So it was like that one. And then there was Paula Abdul's. With Scat Cat, MC Scat Cat.
I'm so excited right now.
Yeah. And so he did some of that, but eventually he decided he wanted to form his own studio. So in 1989, he co-founded the animation studio Spumco with his girlfriend Lynn and some partners, including Jim Smith and Bob Camp. Now we're getting into the Ren and Stimpy years. He wanted to create his own show instead of working on other people's projects. That's legit. He pitched a show to Nickelodeon, and it was a cartoon called Your Gang, and it was like, you know, all these kids. But the Nickelodeon executive, Vanessa Coffey, she really like zeroed in on this dog and cat side character. She really was interested in them, and they would later become Ren and Stimpy. So there's always this kind of idea that he showed up at Nickelodeon with a fully formed cartoon, and they bought it, and that's not really what happened. Like, he pitched a whole different thing, and they picked out Ren and Stimpy and cultivated that, and they went from there. So Spumco got the green light, and they began work on 6 episodes. And it turns out that John was he's a real dick to work for.
Mm-hmm.
He would yell and scream at people. He was definitely a perfectionist, and he was involved in pretty much like every little detail about the show, from, you know, including like doing the voice of Ren, which it is a really good voice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to shit all over Ren and Stimpy, by the way. Ren and Stimpy was very funny, but then some people said that there was definitely like a quote ugly undercurrent in that office. And then another woman said, I still have nightmares about it. Because he yelled at people all the time, and
right.
He would share your work, like you present your work, and he'll just crucify you in front of everybody.
Oh, God.
It's super shitty, you know, and there's this idea that like that's just part of art or the process.
Or
and
show
like,
business.
It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't.
No.
It's bullshit. I don't support that. So his girlfriend Lynn actually quit before the first episode even aired. I could not find out why. I know they broke up, and I'm like, but, you know, maybe because he was a jerk. If you watch the documentary, it is very interesting. It's not a perfect documentary, let me just say.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of interesting stuff in there. And there is this idea that he is very much like a Ren and that she was like Stimpy. She put up with his abuse all the time. And that at a certain point, she clearly was like, that's enough of that. And she left. But just to be clear, she went on to other things. She worked on the Powerpuff Girls and Samurai Jack, Star Wars Clone Wars, which is insanely popular.
Yeah.
So good for her.
Yeah.
One of the animators in the documentary said that it was like when the parents divorced and mom left the kids with their jerk of a father. The show premiered in August 1991, and it was it was huge. It was everywhere. It was the most popular show on cable TV at the time. Pretty weird for an animated show that was on Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon was for kids. It's for kids. And the show is so weird.
Well, we'll talk about Nickelodeon in the future, because there's some dark shit that happens there that one day we'll do an episode about.
Yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And everywhere I went, people were quoting this show. So it was like, you idiot. And, you know, it's log. It's big. It's heavy. It's wood. there's other things I still quote all the time, which is one where they like interview a horse and the horse says, no, sir, I don't like it. I say that all the time.
I love the song. Happy, happy, joy, happy, happy, joy.
Happy, happy, joy. It was everywhere. So it was a huge hit, and it really, it inspired a whole bunch of other shows that came after it. So like Beavis and Butthead, South Park, Family Guy, SpongeBob, these were all shows that were very inspired by Ren and Stimpy. They were like creator-driven shows. So as the show grew in popularity, John's ego grew. He was continually trying to push the boundaries of what they could get away with on what is supposed to be a cartoon for kids. In the documentary, everyone agrees that like everything came to a head in an episode called Man's Best Friend, which features this really unlikable character. I don't understand people liking this character named George Licker.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like this abusive father to Ren and Stimpy. It's messed up. Once again, it's a show for kids. I don't know what he's smoking. Nickelodeon executives hated the direction of the show that he was taking it. They also hated his like blown deadlines and increasing budgets. And he hated taking notes on his vision.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually Nickelodeon fired John in September 1992, and they moved Ren and Stimpy to their own studio and did like three more seasons that weren't really as successful, and then they canceled it. We're going to get to creepy stuff soon, I promise. So after Ren and Stimpy, John did more music videos. He did one for Bjork. He did one for Tenacious D. And he created some cartoons just for the internet, which one is called the Goddamn George Licker Program. Once again, a very unlikable character. I don't understand. And then he also did one with the hilariously titled Weekend Pussy Hunt. Oh, who doesn't want to watch that?
Oh, my God.
Sounds great. He also did kind of another Ren and Stimpy. It was like Ren and Stimpy adult party cartoon. And I watched clips of them. So there's some in the documentary. There's some you can find like on YouTube and stuff. And I mean, the truth is, like, you can tell he needed boundaries to create these cartoons. They're pretty unfunny, and they're really gross just to be gross. I don't think gross just to be gross is funny. Maybe other people do. I don't. We warned people that we were going to talk about Ren and Stimpy. And people in our Facebook group were like, I love Ren and Stimpy. And I'm like, I think it's still okay to like Ren and Stimpy.
Mm-hmm.
It's clearly a team effort. Once he didn't have that team anymore, it just turned into this really gross, unfunny mess.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of like when a band gets really big and then the lead singer is like, I don't need the band. I'm going to do my own thing. And they leave. And then their music sucks.
Like David Lee Roth.
Yeah. It was like there was clearly some chemistry there, some special sauce that they had when they were all together. And it doesn't work when you break it all apart. And I think that was the case with Ren and Stimpy. But let's get to the really, really creepy stuff. So in 2018, BuzzFeed published a story accusing John of grooming and sexually abusing two girls in the late 1990s when they were teenagers. And I just want to note right off the bat, these aren't like allegations. They're facts. Like the women have receipts. They have old letters, emails. There's photos, transcripts of AOL conversation between these women and John. And they also have witnesses to back up their claims. So it's not like a he said, she said situation. It's he said, she said, she said, witness said, witness said.
Right.
You know, these printouts say. So one of the women is Robin Bird. In 1994, Robin Bird was 13. She sent a letter and a video of her talking about animation to her idol, which is John Kay. She loved Ren and Stimpy, like we all did.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to work in animation when she grew up, and she hoped to get a job at Spumco someday. And she was very surprised when he wrote her back. So at this point, he's 39 years old, and he wrote her back, and he sent her like supplies for to draw, like animation supplies. And in the documentary, he says, I was falling in love with her.
Oh, my God.
He says he knew it was wrong, quote, but she was very convincing.
Oh, my God.
What does that
God.
Mean? He thinks it's her fault.
Oh, yeah.
It's your fault, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, 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 no. Oh, she seduced him. It's the Lolita complex.
Yeah. Yeah. 13-year-olds are always doing that.
Right.
Yeah. Ugh. So he went to visit her when she lived in Tucson, Arizona. And she said, I thought I was his cute little friend, she said. And then when she was in the 11th grade, he actually flew her to Los Angeles to show her the studio and talk to her about her future. And she stayed at his house. And while she was there, he molested her through her pajamas as she lay frozen on a blanket that he had placed on the floor. And she was 16 at the time.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's so gross. A few months later, he flew her out again. This is during the summer of 97. And she worked as an intern at Spumco, and she was living with him as his girlfriend. She was 16.
Oh, my God.
And there are pictures in the BuzzFeed article of them sitting together, and she looks like a baby.
She does.
It's bananas. Yeah, go ahead.
What did the people around him say? Because I would be appalled. I mean, I find it. I mean, I don't know what you can say because everyone's afraid of the guy and they want to have a mm-hmm. job. But I mean, it must have looked weird to people.
For sure did. So there was a lot of like people who super looked up to him. So they just let shit slide. There was also this attitude in the office that being offended by things was offensive to people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm explaining it right. If you were like, that's gross, I'm offended, then everybody was, oh, you're a fucking prude or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anything went in that office. And it was like, it was super inappropriate. There were like nasty drawings all over the place. And they would talk about, it's so funny because they're like, you know, we're talking a lot about like sexual themes and stuff in our show. And I was like, it's Ren and Stimpy. Why were you talking about sexual themes in your cartoon on Nickelodeon? But whatever. Okay. Once again, she's 16. So after the summer was over, she went back to Tucson and she finished high school at a private school that he paid for.
What?
And then after graduation, yeah, he paid for her to go to like a private high school in Tucson to finish out her to graduate.
Right.
And then after graduation, she moved back to Los Angeles and she moved in with him. So now she's 17.
Oh, my God.
And she would say, you know, in the BuzzFeed article, she says that she really had this kind of, oh, the world's against us feeling, like it shouldn't be wrong for him to date me. We're cool and rebellious,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that she thought their age difference was kind of romantic. But I think it's important to note that we will get people who will say like it was consensual. And it's like she was 16.
Mm-hmm.
It started when she was like 13, you know,
she's not old enough.
Yeah, he groomed her. Yeah. That's a thing that happens. And she wasn't old enough to consent. That's the point. And he groomed her to thinking those things. It's part of the process. It happened to another girl that we're going to talk about. There's a video that went around recently of Evan Rachel Wood talking mm-hmm. about her relationship with Marilyn Manson when she was like 18. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, I should share. I'll share it with you after this. And
yeah.
It talks about that grooming process. It's really interesting.
Well, it's also, yeah, I mean, I remember Millie Bobby Brown and yeah. Billie Eilish. They both said they had a texting relationship with Drake. How old is Drake, the rapper? He's in his, well,
oh my
into
God,
his 30s, right?
Right, definitely.
I mean, and Billie was like 17 and Millie Bobby Brown's like 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, oh no, he's like a performer and I'm a performer and he's just, you know, he's just being my friend. And
and
I would be flattered if I were them. But the adult in me is like, what the fuck are you doing texting a teenager? I find it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, there's been lots of rumors about him.
Yeah, I think the grooming process is something that people are talking about more now, but mm-hmm. it was not talked about even when this was published like a couple of years ago. I don't think that was really as talked about as it should be.
Well,
because there is like this kind of laying of the groundwork of normalizing what's about to happen.
Did you have that? I don't know if you've had this happen to you, but I remember when I was a teenager, older guys would be like, how old are you? boy, yeah. I can't wait till you're out of high school. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah, and you're supposed to be flattered because it's an older man and you maybe you're insecure or something, but that's fucking creepy to say to a mm-hmm. person. It's, yeah, and it happens. Remember, or the, I used to work at YM Magazine and the Olsen twins.
Remember them? The Olsen twins.
They talked about in the interview. I said, there's guys out there that have websites with clocks on them that they for the day yes. that we turn 18.
Yeah,
like what fucking it's weirdo. Gross. Yeah,
it's gross. So that was happening to her. People in the industry would later tell BuzzFeed in this article that John. His sexual harassment of female animators and his relationship with underage girls was an open secret.
Mm-hmm.
His relationship with Robin was such an open secret. It's briefly referenced in a book about the history of Ren and Stimpy, and it like refers to a girl he has been dating since she was 15 years old.
Whoa.
Like just casually mentioned. His coworkers also share stories of John taking explicit photos of Robin and sharing them with them, like binders and binders of like these photos. This is also known as child pornography, everybody.
Yeah.
He has a lot of those, apparently. And it turns out that Robin wasn't the only teenage girl he was grooming. He was also pursuing Katie Rice. She was this other young girl that wrote John a letter when she was 14. And they would chat online, and I wrote AOL, LOL, and on the phone. She said their relationship was never physical. His behavior ranged from, like, flirty letters to masturbating while she was on the phone, which I argue is sexual.
Yeah.
But not, like, physical. In an AOL conversation that he told her not to copy, and she did and printed it out and saved it. He would say things like, I want to squeeze you. I'm crazy about you, Katie. And do I ever make you tingle?
Ugh.
Gross. And then there's now she's 15 and he's 41 and he's writing about like, I'm thinking about you very hard right now. And I have a tickle in my chest. He's so gross.
That is fucking creepy.
He's so gross. So he suddenly stopped talking to Katie in 1997, and that's when Robin moved to L.A. And then he contacted Katie again in 2000 and asked her to come work for Spumco. And Katie has receipts that signed by him that show him paying for her to, like, come out to L.A. and, like, stay there while she gets set up at her job. And he, coincidentally, this is when Robin broke up with John
mm-hmm.
and moved out of the house. So like the minute like she moved out, he just called his other young girl that he had been grooming to replace her. Yeah. They got back together. Robin and John actually got to back together a few months later. They broke up again later, but obviously. Mm. Katie worked at Spumco off and on from when she was 18 to 25, and he persistently sexually harassed her. Sometimes she was working out of his home office, and she said that sometimes she would come and like let herself in to go to work, and that he would just be there naked in his living room.
Oh God, like Charlie Rose did that.
Yeah, like waiting for her.
Yeah.
She said he would walk around with his wiener hanging out, and he once told her that his friend's advice to, quote, get her was just to rape her one day.
Oh, good. Oh my God. Fuck this guy.
Yeah. He's fucking gross. So she says that after that comment, after, hey, maybe I should just rape you one day, she went to work and she found child pornography on his computer. She said it was girls as young as maybe 10.
Oh, God.
And then she quit. That's when she quit. Another ex-girlfriend also said that she also found child pornography on his computer.
Can we get the same FBI that got Jerry to get this guy?
Seriously. So apparently both these girls have reported him, but there's like a statute of limitation thing here. Of limitation thing. And which is why he hasn't been charged with anything. So after the BuzzFeed story, John issued an apology for his behavior. He blamed an undiagnosed bipolar disorder. he had blamed attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and, quote, poor impulse control. It's a shit apology.
Yeah.
That feeds into the idea that people with mental illness are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
It pisses me off, to be honest. There's been a lot of talk of rebooting Ren and Stimpy recently, which also kind of annoys me, because I know they're saying like John Kay wouldn't be involved and he wouldn't profit from it, but just it being rebooted brings him more fame. It mm-hmm. just, it brings him back into the public eye. And I think that there's so many awesome, talented people in the world with amazing ideas that can't we just do that?
Right.
Instead of going back to the Ren and Stimpy. Well, and this is coming from someone who really liked Ren and Stimpy. Let's do something else.
Yeah.
So I looked up where Robin Bird and Katie Rice are now. So Katie Rice has continued to work in animation. She's worked on the Kung Fu Panda animated series. She worked on the movie Book of Life, which I haven't seen but saw clips of, and it's super beautiful looking. And she is going to be directing episodes for the new reboot of Animaniacs.
Oh, cool.
Which I think is pretty. Yeah. Another one where I'm like, sure, like, do we need to reboot Animaniacs? But I really did like Animaniacs back in the day, too. Robin Bird works as a philosophy and writing teacher, and both of them are very active on Twitter and have both been commenting about the documentary that came out a couple weeks ago. And Robin Bird said something that I thought was really interesting, or she tweeted, you show me proof, guys, should just read the article. Photos, letters, chat logs, dozens of friends and coworkers who saw it until they were sick. There's nothing really up for debate except whether or not you like perverts. Which,
wow.
Yeah. I'm like, she's not wrong. You know, and she says in the documentary, like, you should still like, if you like Ren and Stimpy and it means something to you, please enjoy. But it's important to know where things come from. And yeah. I think she's right. So that's our creep, John Crickfalusi.
Good job, Sonia.
Thank you.
Oh, he's so creepy. I saw that documentary too. Ugh.
Yeah. Did you like the documentary?
I thought it was okay. You know, it brought back a lot of memories from that time. Yeah. And they had a lot of footage of, like you said, him being horrible to people and difficult to mm-hmm. be with. But and that's kind of triggering, is sort of like I first started working in the 90s. And
yeah.
like you were saying before, like that kind of behavior was just totally justified in all aspects of working. It's not even just in show mm-hmm. business, but just like at regular offices. And I just was, ugh, it's, I hate that myth of genius. They could just do whatever yeah. the fuck they want. I hate it.
Yeah, I hate it too. And I don't think it doesn't justify it to me. And you're right about this. It wasn't just show business. This was a kind of culture that was accepted in a lot of things. I worked at newspapers and I right. had people yelling all the time. And I'm like, you don't get to yell at me. That's some bullshit. I thought the documentary was really interesting, but I felt like they don't get into the sexual abuse until like the last half hour or 20 minutes even.
Even.
And I felt like, you know, I was like, they could have, I felt like that deserved way more time. They could cut down on the influence of Ren and Stimpy and get into like what a fucking creep he is. And I feel like they almost let him off the hook a little bit at the end.
I think so, because he kind of just does a shrug of his shoulders, like, I guess I shouldn't have been doing that to the teenagers. Yeah. I guess some people don't like that. It's not a real apology, and it's super fucking gross.
Yeah, it was interesting, but it wasn't what I wanted it to be. And I told Margo this before we started recording. While I was working on the script, my husband's like, do you mind if I actually watch some Ren and Stimpy while you're writing? And I was like, no, that's fine. Like, please, you know. And so he was watching it and I was writing and listening. And those first six episodes are really funny. And I grew up watching them, too. And I understand, like, that Ren and Stimpy means stuff to people.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a serious fucking creep.
Do you want to hear about someone in animation who wasn't a creep?
Please.
Okay. So June Lucille Ferrer was born September 18th, 1917. She eventually moves to LA and she changes her name to June Foray. And she, I mean, she did voices from everything from Rocky the Flying Squirrel. She was on, yes. She was Lucifer from Cinderella. She was Cindy Lou Who in the original 1967, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. She was in The Adventures of Gummy Bears. She was in The Smurfs. She did voices. And some Chuck Jones had said about June Foray, she is not the female Mel Blanc. Mel Blanc was the male June Foray.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she worked in films and radio. She was one of the early members of the society devoted to promoting and encouraging animation. She started the Annie Awards, which is instrumental in creating the best animated feature in 2001. She has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. She started working in the 40s, and she did try to work as an actress, but she just got more work doing voices, and she actually was on The Simpsons once. She is in the episode from the first season, Some Enchanted Evening. She's the receptionist in the Rubber Baby Buggy Bumper Baby Service, which is a very famous episode.
I think it's exactly Penny. What you're talking about?
I think it's the one with Penny Marshall as the babysitter. It's one of it's like a classic from the. I think that's it. But she tried to get a job with The Simpsons, and they said she sounded too cartoony. Which I'm just like, what?
Okay.
She, like I said, she worked on Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. She was on Looney Tunes. Everything she's done, everything, and then she. She passed away July 26, 2017. The woman lived to be 99.
Wow.
Like 30 years ago, when I first started listening to Howard Stern, he would have her come on the show and they would have her read Filthy Things in the voice of Rocky the Flying Squirrel. And she loved it. Like, she just thought it was hilarious. She had a great sense of humor. But then, you know, obviously the people that run Rocky the Flying Squirrel, all that stuff, like,
yeah,
put a kibosh on all that. But no. she was that cool. Like, she was just not precious about it. She loved what she did, and she was super talented, and she was lovely to everybody, and she wasn't a fucking asshole, and she treated people well, and she really raised the art of being a voice actor. And so that's our Not Creep this week, June Foray.
Good pick. That is such a good pick. I love hearing that one.
I've been a fan of hers for years. I just loved Rocky and Bullwinkle. I love those cartoons. And I just think she was super talented and super cool. And I think if you do what you love and you're a nice person, you can live a long life.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good pick.
Thank you. So that's What a Creep this week, you guys. And if you like the sound of our voices, Sonia and I also co-host a show. It's called Dorking Out, where we dork out about movies. And we have something special coming up. Our friend Adam from F This Movie is going to join us, and we're going to be talking about The Pelican Brief, which I'm super excited about.
I can't wait to rewatch it. We always have such a good time when Adam's on, and we've been kind of doing like a series with Adam of 90s thrillers. And I'm just really excited to watch The Pelican Brief. I know it's going to be so fun to talk about.
And once again, you can join us at Patreon if you want to support the show. We're doing a bonus episode. It's only available to Patreon members. We're going to record something Friday. It's going to drop on Saturday. We're going to talk about stories about Evel Knievel I didn't include. We're also going to be talking about a real housewife who's running a scam. A health scam. We'll talk about that. So that's if you're interested. Just go to patreon.com. Once again, we're at CreepPod on Twitter. We love it when you send us suggestions. If you're on Twitter and you want to send us a suggestion for a creep or a non-creep, and trust me, we need help getting the non-creeps sometimes. That's the toughest part of the show. But we love it when you use the Annie Potts gift from Ghostbusters, We Got One, or you find something even more clever. You know, don't be beholden to that, but we're just sending that out as an idea. If you like what you hear and you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, if you could leave us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the air and we'll be your best friends for life. I forgot to also mention.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, please. Also, we're also on Instagram, What a Creep Podcast. And Sonia, we've got like hundreds of people who started following us on Instagram. So I'm going to up my Instagram game, you guys. But thank you. Thank you so much for joining us there. And our email is whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. If you like stickers, just send an email. We'll be happy to send them out to you. I think I've mentioned everything. Did I mention everything?
Where can people find you, Margo? Just you.
Well, okay then. You could find me on social media at Brooklyn Fit Chick, and that's mostly for Twitter and Instagram. And on Instagram, I post a lot of pictures of my cats, just a warning, because they're the cutest cats in Brooklyn.
They're the cutest.
Yep. My blog is brooklynfitchick.com. And Sonia, where can they find you?
You can find me at thesoniashow.com and The Sonia Show on Twitter and Instagram, where I post photos of Bread and my dogs. Sometimes together.
So we'll be back next week with a brand new creep. It's a white lady, so some of y'all will be really happy to hear that. And a liberal. Woo!
What?
Don't mean to blow your minds, guys.
Mind blown.
Tune back in for that one, guys. All right, so we'll talk to you next week. And in the meantime, wash your hands frequently. Practice social distancing. Please wear a goddamn mask when you're out in public. And don't be a creep.
Creep.
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.